If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love, that is, that we are all embodiments of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Revealing the Cosmic Mystery as Show and Tell Agents. So, you're ready? Let's take a deep breath together. And as we do, we bring in the Divine Spirit, which comes down right through the crown chakra and enmantles the entire biosphere, including all of your subtle bodies, and pouring pure divine light down through the nervous system, which is how the Supreme Soul comes into the physical body. It comes in as a form of etheric energy or gas that comes in to the nervous system. And from thence it flows throughout the entire biosphere. And it rides in most easily through the breath. That's why we always start every seminar with taking a deep breath. But it's important to do it consciously with intention. As you do it consciously with intention, the intention instantly manifests. So you have to know that the intention always manifests. So it's keeping that intention very clear that everything flows through that. Well, let's try that again. Deep, intentional breath. And bring that energy down through the mind, the brain, the physical body, all the way down into your feet, and shoot it beyond your feet. Connect to the soul star in the center of Mother Earth. So there's a strong connection of the higher realms all the way through into the physical realm. So you're grounded and anchored here. Now we're going to chant Hue, which brings a tremendous clarity into the mind and a harmony with your prevailing situation, wherever you find yourself. So again, with intention, deep breath. Hue. Allow for the silence at the end of that, which allows the merger to take place. And now let's together breathe in God and exhale love. Breathe in God. Exhale love. Breathe in God. Exhale, love. And now just be aware. If you're able to be with us present when we start the seminars, you can begin to notice perhaps a great calm and centeredness that comes as the Divine Spirit aligns with each one of you when you're listening, whether it's now or later to the archives. The presence of the Spirit is present with you the very moment you intend to enter. Enter in. The presence you enter into, you call yourself forward into the presence. Excuse me. There is still aligning some of you that are listening this evening. Some of you, in the last month or two, possibly three, have had a major descension of higher awareness. You're coming back, as it were, in time to yourself. There was a time for you to enter more fully into the awakened awareness of the self that you are and the mission that you carry. That's what's happened to some of you. Some of you have felt a little frightened by the process because it brought in a very fiery energy. And no, it's not the weather, although I'll admit the weather all over the world, at least in the northern hemisphere, has been so hot. But you know, as within, so without, as above, so below, so the great heat that we're feeling in the physical dimension in many parts of the planet, I believe, is a reflection of the fiery energy that we're integrating now as more of our spirit shows up in our human embodiment. What to do? As much as possible, stay quiet and rest. Many of us have to go to work, so you just do the best you can with that. But I would say psych up before you go out. Psyching up means do your spiritual prayer work and set the stage for your day before you go out. Or if you're on the freeway commuting, as many of us are, use that time to get really fortified for the day that you want to enter into. You set the day yourself. You don't just let it happen on you. Not if you're walking in awakened awareness. You take charge and dominion of your environment. And you purpose the day that you would like to experience. You set it forth as a presentation for spirit to come into the flowing of your day rather than allowing the ego mind to take over. You might say, for example, I want a day in which I experience harmonious interactions and an inner sense of calm throughout the day. I ask for a day in which I feel a quiet joy bubbling up from within, regardless of the outer circumstances. I ask for a day of abundant energy and strength that will sustain me through all the meetings and things I have to go through today. I ask for a spirit of goodwill to be between me and all the people I interact with. Now, Jesus in A Course in Miracles said that if you do not make any ego-based decisions without being in that alignment, you will have exactly that kind of day. You will have that day that you have purposed if you don't get into ego mode. What's ego mode? Where you try to allow your intellect, your mind, your past, your grievances, your likes and dislikes to govern your day. When you find that happening, stop. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. That will immediately connect you. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. And the breathing out of the love, you see, neutralizes and transmutes the negative ego energy. Ego and love can't sit in the same heart. Okay? Another thing that I find helps very much, my dear shaman friend, Fernando Mercado, gave me this little secret. And it's from Oriental medicine. And you take an ice cube and park it in the channel at the nape of your neck. And that will bring a balancing and a harmonizing of all the organs in your body. And will balance many, many systems that become deranged, shall we say, with the humidity and the heat. And I find it helps also to bring it around my face, to my temples, to my crown, to my thymus, to my throat. And that really, really helps. So that's another thing you can do. And those of you who are greatly disturbed by the heat, well, I was going to share a breathing exercise, but I don't think it's something I can do over the air, so we'll forget that. But if one of you are coming to visit me, I will teach you the Sitali, which is a pranayama. It's a breath that is designed to cool the body. It's the Sitali, if any of you are yogis and know that particular breath. So we are show-and-tell agents revealing the cosmic mystery. Interesting thought. What is this cosmic mystery? Isn't it the strangest thing that we see other people and think that they're different from us? When in fact, everyone we see is our own incarnation. There's only one incarnation, and that's who we are at the state of the Paramatma. We are the one without a second, reveling in the many, playing, sporting, divinely dancing in the portrayal of manyness and infinite diversity, infinite forms of creative expression and manifestation. And yet there is but one. You see, if we came to the point of self-realization, where we awaken to where the God realized lived from, we would find any form of envy, jealousy, slander, backbiting, gossiping impossible, because we would realize everyone we see is our own incarnation. Therefore, we would celebrate when they have success. We would be happy when they flourish and thrive and succeed. There would be no competition, because you would realize that person, every person, everyone you see, is your own incarnation. How differently we would behave if we realize that, and it's inevitable we will realize that. Absolutely inevitable, because it is the will of God to awaken within the many. Not all at the same time, because then the whole creation would dissolve in pure white light. But for those of you like myself that are having that experience of everything dissolving in golden light or pure white light, or going to where you can actually see through solid forms, you're starting that transfiguring process of self-revelation to where you realize you are the light. The light is not only within you. The light is not only around you. You are the Atma Jyoti, the light of the Supreme Spirit itself. And you'll realize that everything that looks solid is simply light. And then you begin to hear the divine sound. And you realize everything is the living word and the living light. And it is the living love that is the essential core mystery of mysteries that dwells in you and acts through you as you. And your very life here in time-space is the show and tell of the divine. Without the manifestation of the human, that divine love in light and sound would be invisible. Therefore, you are the hue. You are the living word. You are the om. You are the pranava. You are the primordial word of God. And that primordial word of God manifests as what we call the soul or the sonship. So we are all sons of God. And a true son of God manifests the spirit of truth and love and peace and awareness, which is the bliss itself. And when you live in that state consistently and are able to move about in the world without finding objection to what is, when you move in the peace that is not perturbed by the dualities which are inevitable in the dream field of time-space, when you can move at ease without making a big deal of the inevitables of the material plane, you can be said to be established in the self, self-aware. Self-possessed, self-inhabited, with a capital S for that self. Isn't that a great mystery? But initially, we are a total mystery to ourselves. We come in with a blank slate. However, all initiates and men and women who are in the process of active awakening come in predestined. Everything is predestined. Oh, you have some little minor choices when you get down here, but not very many. Your die is cast. Say, for example, you came in to realize God in this lifetime. Make this your last incarnation, obligatory. To step off the wheel of reincarnation and karma, the wheel of 84, and to go forth as a member of the Christed race, the golden race, into the universe as yet to be, or the universe that you've been working with the travelers in creating over these many, many millennia. Many of you are going into that new universe, perhaps as masters. Because the most difficult school of mastery is the earth. You master the earth, and you have great clout amongst the gods and demigods of the many, many universes and worlds. They stand down and respect you, because this is known as the school of difficult endeavor. And we are known as the initiates and the abjuricators between the many polarities and dualities within the material universes and the psychic worlds. And so when you transcend them, and that part of you that is transcendental to the mind, which is the creator, the lower mind is the creator of the manas. We're called sons of mind, the manasa putras, that create the forms, indwell the forms in the material and psychic worlds. But beyond all of that, you have the pure divine realms, the God realms, the realms of the imperishable star realms that are our initial home. So where is the birthplace of the self that we call the spirit? We were birthed out of the heart of the great central sun as what is called a solar angel, also known as the angel of the presence. And as that, we show forth and tell the glory of the living God. You might call that heart of the great central sun, from whence we emanated. We come forth as a flame of sacrificial fire, as a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine. We come out as the divine metatronic codes of living light in the outer and the Sandalphon energies of the living light within, as superluminal radiance, showing and telling forth the mysteries of the divine into the dream fields of time and space. Yes, isn't that a great mystery? And we sit and we worry about paying the rent. We're connecting and finding our true love. Or we worry about we've got a little bit too much weight on our thighs. We're a beer belly. And you're listening to this and you're saying, what is she talking about? I'm revealing the cosmic mystery that is you. And that you foretell and express as an agent of the divine. Yeah, it might look like a human form walking around of some age and some description. But I tell you an absolute truth. You are the one without a second. Birthless, deathless, immortal, omnipresent, all-knowing, and having all of the powers of the Almighty. Now, here in time, space, it but seems like you're becoming that, like you're learning that. But I tell you a truth. There is nothing here that you need to learn. You are uncovering all of the conditioning that has convinced you erroneously that you are simply a body, simply a human being that is inevitably going to die and go God knows where. That's how most people self-identify. But I'm speaking to you. You, the ancient one, you, the immortal emanation from the very heart of the sun of the suns, the great I am that I am itself, showing and telling as an agent in a human form, the divine mystery. So, okay, now, what else is so strange about this cosmic mystery? The strangest thing. To me, it's utterly baffling that we have so much darn physical pain in our body. I don't know a single person I can think of that doesn't have some physical problem going on and pain. And yet we are light and love and sound and energy, and we've never been in a body at all. Jesus in A Course in Miracles says all pain is misperception in the mind. And whenever it shows up in any form, it simply reveals misperception. We have misidentified ourselves as a body. And therefore, we go to treat the body. But you know, sometimes you have to get through the night, right? So you take an aspirin, so you take an Advil, whatever. Gets you through the night and the day, whatever. But you have to begin to question, how can I, as a mortal light, as energy itself, as divinity itself, have pain in the body? You have to begin to question these things that we have bought into as conditioning. And we always live up to our expectations. We always do. If you expect to be sick and age and have pain and disease and all of that, then, you know, you won't meet your expectations. But what if there are another way? And Jesus said there is another way. And one of the ways is self-inquiry, where you begin to ask yourself, why do I keep repeating this pattern? Why do I keep deferring my perfect wholeness and health to this programmed belief that I have to suffer pain? Or that I have to have this, I think they must run out of names after a while trying to think of all these silly things. But you have to begin to question, why am I so invested in believing I'm a body instead of an incarnation of immortal love? Okay, so what do you do if you find out that you have a strongly invested belief that you are a physical body? Well, you begin to question it. You begin to question the pain. And you begin to notice also when you're out of pain, which is every time you completely forget your body. Every time you lose sight of your body, that would be when you are asleep, when you are in deep meditation, when you're in hypnotic trance, when you're in any level of altered consciousness, when you're meditating in a very deep state, when you're heavily into a book, a movie, making love, or sneezing, having an orgasm, you lose absolute, what should we say, awareness of the body, awareness that you're in a body. You transcend it. Watch that. Watch how you completely forget the body when you are really into anything or a deep conversation or an experience that overwhelms every other sense. Observe how there's no pain. Just be aware. And likewise, notice when you're entirely present. Your mind is absolutely unaware of the world. Sai Baba and all the masters say that the world exists nowhere but as a concept in the mind and becomes real to you the minute you think of it. But again, when you're in any one of those transcendental states I've just mentioned, where's the world? Because you see, the world and the physical body come together. And they come together as a belief in the mind. Of themselves, they do not exist. Of themselves, they do not exist as something apart from your own mind. This is such a mystery. I mean, those of us who have had some degrees of samadhi some degrees of enlightenment. And I would say degrees because there's no lid. There's nothing stopping you from expanding infinitely. There's no dead end here. So those of us that have had those experiences, I being one, can tell you for a fact, there's only the love and the light and the divine, ecstatic melodies of God in all of existence. And you and I are that forever and ever and ever. It can never be lost. So when I say it's inevitable, Jesus says it so sweetly in A Course in Miracles, a happy outcome to all things is assured. A happy outcome to all things is assured. And he also says that the end of the world is not its destruction, but the sound of great laughter and joy. The end of the world is one of great joy because it's been, in the ego's nightmare, a place of destruction and devastation and terror, which is the nightmare from which we are awakening. We're going to awaken to absolute ecstatic joy. And you don't have to wait. You can enter in to that. How? Well, one of the ways I enter in is to sit in those mornings when I'm not feeling particularly grateful about anything and not too perky. We all have those mornings. And I'll take a deep breath and I'll start with expressing my gratitude and my love for the Lord. I'll just sit there and sweet talk the Lord and just tell the Lord how grateful I am for every little thing that comes to my mind. I'll tell you, I don't get out too many of those statements before I am starting to go into the joy and the bliss of higher awareness. Because you see, the ego's narrative and nightmare cannot coexist in the presence of gratitude. It cannot exist in the presence of devotion to the Lord. And I'll tell you a truth, without devotion to the Lord and without gratitude, there is no joy. There's no happiness. You're not going to find it anyplace else. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is the bread of heaven that gets you up in the morning and lights the fire of purpose within you and sustains you in your weakest moments and bridges you through to excellence and perfection. Whatever you do to your uttermost, absolute, nth degree, wherever you fall short, the Lord, the Divine Spirit, will bridge you through to perfection, through grace. And I truly believe in the human form, we are purposely kept without complete fulfillment and success until we cohabit and co-partner and cooperate as one with the Divine Spirit. We're not allowed to have those brownies, you know, unless you give some acknowledgement to the great cook. Meaning in this analogy, God. So it's said in the Bible that only the foolish say there is no God. Only the foolish. Only the foolish. But usually we're just dickering around with interpretive concepts about what that is. And we're not really saying there is no supreme creator. We're saying, I don't like the version that's been presented to me through the religions. Well, I don't either, and neither does the Lord. Most of those are people's imagination. People who are not fully awakened. People who are partly awakened, you know, got a concept, an idea, and ran with it, and then built an organization around it. tried to elicit followers. I'll tell you a truth, a divine, a real master who is enlightened does not want followers. He or she wants to see co-workers and the great work that walk side by side as equals. Co-workers of the divine. Show and tell agents. Revealing the cosmic mystery. So we're all in that process of self-revelation. Because the self within you knows just the right time to quicken and activate your inner knowing. So your part is to not try to force out of your own ego, because the ego always tries to force outcome. It wants to hedge its bet. It wants to get in there and know what's going to happen so it can have some control. That's why the great cosmic mystery is never revealed in its entirety. Even when you reach the highest states of God realization, or maybe you evolve to where you're a solar logos, there's still going to be more cosmic mystery. Because each of these great orbs that you look at through your telescopes is the vehicle of manifestation of a great life. A great life. The solar logos is a great being whose body of manifestation simply has to be the sun. But that's true of every planet. And every one of those orbs is advancing to a higher level of divine revelation and manifestation. And so far as we know, it's infinite and ever unfolding. Sai Baba said, expansion is my life. When Sai Baba speaks, he speaks as the Supreme Godhead. So in essence, God is saying, expansion is my life. My life is my message. Expansion is my life. And you and I can see that as well. My life is my message. Expansion is my life. So when I sit on those mornings and I start expressing my love and my gratitude to God, that expansion begins to happen and the heart begins to open. Because a closed heart and gratitude, again, can't come together. So that's why it's so important. The Bible says that we should give praise and gratitude for all things, seeing everything as a gift of the Lord. Everything is a manifestation of the grace of God. Everything. It may not feel like it today, but we're promised that ultimately we will see all things as having worked together for our highest good. No exceptions. So as we begin to engage in active self-observation, begin witnessing ourselves as if from afar, when we begin to question the places where we have placed the limitation and the block that have prevented us from just being present with our loving here and now. When we begin to question why contraction feels so awful and why opening your heart and expanding feels so great, when we begin to notice these things, we begin to align all of our levels with the truth of our being. And when you're in the truth of your being, there's no fear, there's no doubt, there's no hesitation. One of the biggest fears we have is of each other. We're so afraid of what people are going to say or think or do. But if you realize that's your own incarnation there, that's your own self, And that self is simply mirroring your expectations. If you expect that person to be gnarly and cantankerous and give you a hard problem, they will. They will dance to the tune that you play. If you see ego, then ego will respond. If you see the beloved will respond. Do you know that a vicious animal in the forest or a snake won't even bite a yogi that's in that state of divine harmony and love? You know the statues of Buddha that have those little curly things all over the head of Buddha? You might think they were curls. No, I'm told that in the state of meditation that he was in, his head was burning with that fire, that yogic fire, and probably the hot sun in India as well, and that the snails crawled up and formed a cap over the Buddha's head to provide moisture and protection. Yeah. And many are the stories that the sages and the rishis in the mountains of the Himalayas, that they're fed by the monkeys. The monkeys will come and bring food to the yogis. And we're told in the Bible that Elijah was fed meat and bread morning and night by the ravens. So what I'm saying is that all of creation comes to take care of you and protect you and foster you when you birth the living fire of the living God of your own divine mystery. When you come alive as who you truly are, you don't even have to think of providing for your needs. Okay, how does that work for you and me in the daily life? Well, it's worked for me for about 40 years that I haven't worked at a job for a paycheck. And everything comes to me through grace. But what causes that to happen is unconditional faith and trust in your provider. You know God is providing for you, not the world, not your paycheck, none of those things. Those are the agents or the mechanisms that the one supreme provider utilizes. But they're just agents. They just show and tell divine provision into your life. So yeah, God may use people. God may use a job. God may use a tax return. God may use an insurance payment. But that's not your support. And so you go to the first cause with absolute faith and trust. And Sai Baba told us that anyone who relies entirely on God, God is obligated to take care of them. That then becomes God's business. When you surrender completely with no trace of ego, when you surrender your life and your situation, whatever it is, to the Lord, Baba has told us, Sai Baba, that the Lord is obligated to take care of you. And Sai Baba often says, why do you worry about these things? These are my problems. These are my concerns. Leave them to me. The other day I was praying for my granddaughter who is going to be flying to London and Paris and be gone for a week. And Sai Baba said, you don't have to remind me to do my duty. Kind of, you know, think we have to tell God what to do. Dear God, please take care of my granddaughter. I mean, how many of us say these prayers, right? Dear God, please take care of my whomever, my husband, my children, my friend, my brother, my sister, whatever. But we're actually telling God to do God's job. And so Sai Baba's gotten to the point when I do those, dear God, please, prayers to him, he's jerking my chain and reminding me that my duty is surrender. My duty is faith, not telling God what to do. God will take care of God's business. And the same applies to the world. We're so worried about what's going to happen in the world. Why should you worry about what's going to happen in the world? It's not your problem. Sai Baba said, leave the world to me. It is my dharma to restore righteousness amongst the nations. You see, whenever there is a decline in righteousness, the Lord will take physical embodiment coming from the formless Atma into a human form to behave and act as a human, but a divine human. And it's for the purpose of rescuing those who are lost in Maya. It's to resuscitate life back into the Vedas and the root divine spiritual teachings. It's to rekindle the fire of love and bliss and joy and faith in human hearts. It's to instill a sense of inner integrity and morality back in a society that has lost its moral compass. It is to show forth through you and me and those who come with the Lord as his companions and helpmates the ideal way to live. Each one of us that I'm speaking to is a disciple, an initiate, a member of the hierarchy, because no matter where you are in that equation, you're all part of the team of light that's here because the avatar is here and has summoned you into physical incarnation. You are here to be the harbingers of the golden race, the Christ race, if you want to call it that, the golden ones. And your manifestation is what we call the golden age. You are the people of open hearts, of loving radiance, with a heart of goodwill towards all people and races and colors and creeds. There is no division or divisiveness in your hearts because God has brought you forward as his show-and-tell agents. You come as part of the Lord's household. I'm quoting things that Sai Baba has taught us, so I know they're absolutely true. Whenever the Lord takes advent upon the earth, he brings his friends, his co-workers, his divine companions. And we play all kinds of roles. But we belong to the Lord, and what the Lord says we do. Some of you are probably asking, well, what Lord? Which Lord? There's only one Lord. You can call him Jesus, or Krishna, or Sai Baba, or Shirdi Sai Baba, or Prema Sai Baba, or Rama, or any one of the many, many names for the Divine Mother and the Divine Spirit. I usually just call him Divine Spirit or the Beloved. That way we don't have much to argue about. But only people who are not fully awakened and enlightened argue. You know, people who are awake and aware, they see arguing as so silly and wasting time. It's just mental nonsense. So stay out of the controversy. If you want to have the peace of God, be peaceful. Try to be the reconciler of disharmony. You know, be the peace walker, the peacemaker. But you can't be that if you're not that, if you're not in touch with that, if you're not centered in your own being. That's why I give you the simple, simple practices of breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. You'll never find a simpler spiritual practice than that one. But it'll do it all for you. If you stick with it in faith. If you return to that as your default when you find yourself getting drawn into discord and controversy and fear and whatever. Chant the hue. brings a harmony through every level of your being. That's your love song to God. It's your call to the beloved. Or Om, you can use Om. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What matters is your intention. What matters is your faith. And what matters is your attention to the divine. Baba says if you take one step to God, God will take 1,000 steps to you. So you're not meant to do it alone. Not that you could. But just saying, you're not meant to do anything without the help of God. We are designed to be completely codependent on the divine. And nothing in your life will really work until you are completely dependent on the Lord. That's the highest state of devotion. When you're completely in the Lord's care without telling the Lord how to care for you or what you need. You know, you transcend all of that ego stuff, all of that separative self, where you feel like you're different from God. You begin to interact with God as your own higher self exemplified. You don't have fear anymore in coming before pure love. And it's a state that you develop. You know, your relationship with God goes deeper and deeper and becomes more and more intimate until you can't tell the difference between the Lord and yourself. In fact, you don't even think of a separation anymore. You become the Lord. You actually merge to the point that you lose all sense of separate identity. You just become the love of God. And yeah, you still look normal. You're not goofy. You're not acting strange. You're in the state of sahaja, natural oneness with God. Sahaja samadhi, natural union with the divine that can operate very normally and efficiently in the physical world. You know, that's what we're to do now, is to be God-realized in the world. Of course, the world's not going to look the same to you when you're in the God-realized state. I realize that. I mean, I am realizing that. But, and that's what, for me, and I suppose any of us that are going through these states, we thought it was going to be more phenomenal. We thought we were going to have, walk on water, fly through the air. We just all thought it was going to look different than just being awake and loving all the time and aware that you're divine. Awake, loving, aware that you're one with God. And never forgetting that, never losing sight of that. Even when you're in your dreams, you never let that awareness drop. That's sahaja, that's natural. Natural samadhi. Samadhi meaning equal-mindedness, where everything is just seen as the one. Samadhi, sameness. Sameness, there's a sameness. Oh, you acknowledge the outer differences in form and the role that that person is playing, of course. You're not blind, but what you really experience in that person is who they truly are. So it's like the mind doesn't label. It's just present with the loving. That's that samadhi state. But you see, it's very simple. It's not weird looking. It's not, or you have to go and hide in a cave somewhere. In fact, the yogis and masters and mystics are coming out of the caves in many cases now and choosing to live again in the outer world where we will be able to visit them and take initiation directly with them in the mystery schools that are coming forward and being built throughout the world. In fact, I'm recently I've been watching a lot of the YouTubes of the Rinpoches and the Tulkus, the reincarnated High Lamas that are taking birth now. There's so many of them, and many of them are being born in Western bodies. I post a lot of these YouTubes on my Facebook timeline. And it's just showing a great number of very highly evolved souls are being born now into the world. And they're being recognized. Of course, in Buddhism, there's a whole tradition of finding these great souls and returning them to their flock. Because many of the devotees are waiting for the reincarnation of their master so that they can continue their studies under that particular soul. But there are many, many, many who are choosing not to return to lineage or not to return to a particular school of consciousness, but are simply coming forward as universal show-and-tell agents. So not everyone is part of a religious tradition. Although you will find great incarnations in every religious camp, I would imagine. But many of us come forward just simply to live divinely in the world, to live as divine examples. And Sai Baba has said that the only way that many people are going to ever come to the spiritual path is by seeing the example of souls that know how to walk in divine oneness and union. The people who are able to live in harmony with the world and be at peace in the midst of the maelstrom of all the things that are going on all the time in the outer world. There's always some drama going on. The ego makes sure there's going to be captivating drama to keep you hooked into the maya. So when you don't care, you don't pay much attention to it, the ego, you know, doesn't have much game with you. So it'll go off and pick on somebody else. But as we live our lives with the integrity and the centeredness and the composure and peace and joy, that any contact with God is going to absolutely instill in you as a vibratory rate, people notice that and they want to follow and emulate that. And you become then the show and tell that is the way shower. And you influence your generation and the people that you move about. You influence them just by being yourself. And that's the whole idea. So we enter into the world having no need to do so, because when you're awakened fully, you know, you're not living for the personal self and what it can get. You're simply here to emanate presence and loving. And you're happy and calm and at peace. And anyone who's happy, calm, centered, and at peace in today's world is definitely going to attract followers and attention. Even though you don't want followers, people are going to follow your example. We need heroes today. And we idolize these people who, you know, are just exemplifying flesh life, carnal life, physical life, human life, ego life, or tossing a ball around or whatever. We're making big idols out of these people and paying them millions of dollars to toss a ball around or whatever it is they do. So our values are very screwed. And we need to really look and see those show and tell agents that are revealing the glory of God, that are exemplifying an ideal life, a life of truth, a life of peace, a life of righteousness, dharma, and a life of harmlessness and love, gentleness, goodness, kindliness. These are the divine virtues. And when we exemplify them, even in the most difficult, trying of times, we then become the way shower, showing people how to get through these difficulties that are part and parcel of being on the planet in this school of adversity, in this play of duality. They don't have a guide unless you stand forth as your greater, better self and lead the way. You don't have to teach, you just need to be. Express. That is the greatest preaching, is your example in your life. And maybe you're given to teach. But just saying, you can do all of this in the silence. You can do all of this being a normal human being or appearing as such. But your effect will be extraordinary in revealing the cosmic mystery that how one Atma, one Supreme Divine Spirit, has become all of this and yet remains the One. So go forth and show and tell and reveal the glory of God, that people, when they see you, don't see you, but see the Creator that made you in its own image and likeness. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm very grateful to be with you again. The love that pours forth from the Ashtar Command to each one of you is overwhelming. And, of course, the love of the great Sai Baba. So raise your hands and send a blessing that all the beings in all the worlds may be happy and peaceful and awaken to the loving joy that is the eternal life we all share as part and parcel of the One. And let's go out chanting a nice long Anahi. Deep breath. Blessings and grace. Namaste.